They have to come tonight to see the rest. Ripped off, right? Can you put the slides up, please, Chris? Ripped off. A little taster, a little tea. You were just getting into it too, weren't you? It was just like, wow, this is going to be good. This is going to be good. Yeah. This is going to be good too, right? Okay. No? Okay. All right. Don't laugh so hard, Mark. Don't laugh so hard. Well, I hope you do enjoy the Christmas season. You know, there's nothing in the Bible that says you have to have a month of celebration, but why wouldn't we, right? The most important birth in all history, yes. Why wouldn't we have a celebration? And why wouldn't we take every opportunity to announce that Jesus is Lord? And so I reckon it's a great opportunity for your family to really keep your family focused on Jesus and the gift of Jesus. It's a great opportunity to be in the community. It's a great opportunity to start conversations, to have carols, church services. And so while we're not told to have some month-long celebration in the Bible, I think it's a God-honoring thing that we do. And so let's enjoy it. Let's make sure we take every opportunity we can. And as a church, we like to, in the month of December, really think about this Christmas message. We're going to have a little glimpse today, just a short little sermon, because we're going to share communion. We've got baptisms, lots of stuff today. Have a little glimpse at one idea from the Christmas story. But let me pray for us first as we kind of kick off this season. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for the Christmas season. And as we just said, while we know it's not instructed to have a certain amount of days or anything, we just thank you that we can have this month where there is greater opportunity in a world that really is pushing the church to the side. This is a month where we really can push ourselves to the center of community with carols and church services and all sorts of things. Lord, I would pray that you would help us to have the courage to pray for and take opportunities to speak. And we know there's some that are gifted evangelists. We pray your leading and blessing on them, but each one of us has opportunities. And so, God, would you help us to do that, to in faith pray that prayer, give us an opportunity, God, and encourage to take those opportunities when they come to start spiritual conversations. And so, God, we're looking forward to the many conversations that our church family is going to have over this month with people who don't know Jesus. And Lord, give us the confidence to invite people to Christmas services, to carols, to our family homes where we can show them what we're doing at Christmas. And Lord, I just give you thanks for this season. And now, God, as we just reflect on one aspect of the story, we would pray that it might inspire us to love you more, to know you better, and to serve our King Jesus wholeheartedly in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And I would encourage you too, in your homes and your families, to make sure you include that celebration of Jesus' birth. And if you've got kids and grandkids, have things there in your home that they're going to come and see. And I bought a big blow-up nativity for our house this year. I don't know, it's survived the rain so far. But when you drive past at night our house, you might be able to look and see the nativity out there. Let's make sure we take opportunities, right? It's hard in our world, isn't it? It's getting harder and harder. And here's a chance for you to take an opportunity. Pray for them. And let's take them. But anyway, let me get into what I actually want to talk about today. I'm on another sermon already. Get back on track. Just the right time. Just the right time. Well, most of you know, many of you visiting won't, I was working for Woolworths. I was a manager at Woolies and for about 17 years. Ended up just over 17 years I worked there before I was a pastor. And you had a group of people there that you had to try and motivate too as well. Same sort of job. And no, very different. You're much nicer, right? You're much nicer. But in Woolies, one of my main jobs, I was normally the assistant manager and was the planning and setting up of all the Christmas and Easter and special events displays, right? That was one of my main jobs. And I actually really enjoyed that kind of thing and just the creativity about it. It was good fun. But you'd get the Christmas decorations, you'd start setting them up about September, right? And I'd be sitting there every year putting the Christmas decorations out. And what do you think every customer's walking past saying? Oh, now, some of them have mumbled under their breath, oh, I can't believe they're doing this. And some would just make sure I heard, I can't believe you're putting this out, or, you know, as though it was my decision, you know, I had to do it. And it just wasn't time. And then you'd get to January, and we would get a message sent out on New Year's Day from the bosses saying, start making hot cross buns, right? Off you go. It was like that. When's the timing? Well, our Christmas decorations went up in November this year. Not as fast as Marley. She was on top of it, I think, at the start of November. And I was getting upset. I said, what are we doing this already in November? So I thought I'd ask Google, because we've got one of those Google Homes. You know, you get to talk to this little box in your house. Okay, Google, tell me the football scores. Okay, Google, when does Christmas decorations go up? And Google said, late November, early December. So you can put them up in November, because Google told me so. There you go. When is the right time? When was the right time for Jesus? Now, most of you think that the Christmas story began with Mary and Joseph going into a stable. And probably a lot of you, if you're going to tell the Christmas story, that's where it began, right? Here's the beginning. But really, it's a bit like one of those movies where you see this scene at the start of the movie, and then the movie goes back. You know those kind of movies where there's this really interesting scene of something that's happening, and then the movie goes back and tells you all that was actually leading up to this final scene. Now, Christmas is actually a bit like that. It didn't actually start with Mary and Joseph in that stable. In fact, it started a long time. We could say it started back in eternity, but in our Bibles, I would argue that it went all the way back to the reading we had this morning. There's a bit of debate about this passage. That's well and good. That's fine. But what I see a sign, a prophecy of Christ coming way back, right, in Genesis 3. Now, if you read this passage, now this is after, remember, in the Garden of Eden, everything was good. And then Adam and Eve, like every human since, decided to rebel against God and not always honor God. They wanted a bit of glory for themselves. And so sin came into the world. Now, when sin came into the world, that peace, that Hebrew word shalom, was broken, right? The peace was broken. And I've talked about this a lot in our church. Hopefully you've caught up if you've been in church by now, that some of the three simplest ways to think about how was that peace broken. The peace was broken between us and God. The peace was broken between us and each other. Genesis 4, the world's first murder. So this relationship was broken when sin came. This relationship was broken when sin came into the world. And our relationship with creation was broken. Romans 8 says creation is groaning. Seen a few things this week, haven't we? Earthquakes in Alaska. Creation is groaning. So these are that broken peace. When sin came into the world, peace with God was broken, peace with each other was broken, and peace with creation was broken. And in this prophecy, in this curse, here God says to Satan, to the serpent, because you've done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. Who likes snakes? Ooh, not me. I run from. Slotay's collected a few for us around the property at times. Had some same with Slotay. Go, call Slotay, we've got a snake, come and help us. She'll go and get them. There they are, crawling on their belly. But listen to this, verse 15, this prophecy. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise or crush his heel. There's this prophecy of crushing of the serpent of Satan from the woman's seed, right? Do you see this prophecy? Now, the interesting thing about this prophecy, and I'm hoping I don't have to explain the birds and the bees to you. Normally, when the Bible talks about the seed, it talks about the man, right? Yes? No, does anyone need me to explain the birds and the bees? Yeah? Okay. Well, when a man really loves... No, anyway. Kind of makes sense. Yeah, that's a sermon for another day. But normally, when the Bible uses this word, it's talking about the line to the man, right? Why then, to this woman and her seed that would crush Satan, does it not talk about the man? Why do you think? Think about the Christmas story. Mary was a virgin. So the seed wasn't through the man, really. It was through the woman and through God himself, right? Through the Virgin Mary. So this prophecy, this is the Christmas story. Right, way back in Genesis, you're thinking the Christmas story is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Christmas story prophesied way back in Genesis 3 at the start of your Bibles that after sin came into the world, God said, no, I've got a plan of salvation and there's a time coming where Satan is going to be crushed, right? Interesting. Now, it's a long time from Genesis, isn't it, until Jesus comes. Thousands of years, right? Now, I suppose after 1,000 years, people are going, did God really say that? Did God really promise the Messiah? Go to Isaiah, and you go to Isaiah, and there's a promise there of Emmanuel, God with us. Did God really promise that? It's been thousands of years, thousands. And then we get to the book of Malachi, and I tried to convince Rachel for the Bible reading it's Malachi, and it's not, Dad. I was going to get her to say, come and read Malachi, but it's not, it's Malachi. But in the last book of Malachi, we read that little passage. I don't think I've got that slide in there, no. But at the end of Malachi, between that and Jesus, there's about 400 years, right? And often this is called the time of silence or 400 years of waiting of questions, because we don't have any prophets recorded from, we've got Malachi, and then we've got 400 years until the announcement, the prophets come and announce Jesus' birth, right? 400 years of silence from God. I mean, that would have been pretty tough, right? Could you imagine being God's people? He's made this promise. Can we still trust him? I mean, he said Savior's coming, right? It's been 50 years, 100 years. Oh, my great-grandmother was telling me, you know, the prophet 300 years ago. And they're getting to 400 years and nothing. Silence. Had God forgotten? Had he gone to sleep? Or does God have perfect timing and see ahead in the future like we don't see? Galatians 4:4-5. But when the, say it together, the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who are slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. At just the right time, God knew. Now, sometimes God's timing isn't our timing, right? Man, sometimes I'd like, God, you know, I've got a good plan here. Anyone have one of those good plans for God where you want to tell him, you know, look, I've got a really good plan. Just now would be a good time to fix this, right? Now would be a good time for me to get over this sickness, God. I've had enough of it. Now would be a good time for me to write the right mate for me, the right spouse. Now would be the time, God, for me to have a bit more money. We're struggling. Now would be the time, God. But God's timing is perfect. Our timing isn't always, is it? But just like those 400 years of silence, in those times we've got to trust that God has promised that he loves us, yes? When does he stop loving his children? Never. God has promised he's got a plan and a purpose for his church. He's always working for his church, isn't he? And so we're in that time of silence, like Israel, 400 years going, maybe God's forgotten us, maybe God's not going to do this, but at just the right time, God knew the right time, didn't he? And it was the right time historically, socially. And as we're going to celebrate in communion, in one sense, it wasn't the right time because it was the time in history where capital punishment was at its worst. And when Jesus was killed, it was at the worst time in history for capital punishment. But God's timing is perfect. We can trust God's timing. And I mean, who loves waiting? No? No one? No, we're... This is me waiting for my wife. Just for a second. She's out with the kids' ministry. You won't dob me in, will you? But sometimes waiting for God's timing is hard, isn't it? I'm not the only one that gets this. You're with me, aren't you? It's hard, isn't it, sometimes? You're praying for your friend, your spouse. You're going through sickness. You're struggling with your kids. And sometimes you're just thinking, God, if you could just fix this yesterday, it would have been better, right? Trust me, God, I'm Matthew, I know. And God's up there just shaking his head going, look, I see the whole of history mapped out from Genesis 3 to Revelation 22. And God says, look, you've just got to trust me in the middle of the silence. You've got to trust me that my timing is perfect. Everyone say, God's timing is perfect. God, you've got to believe this because you're going to face things in life where you're going to feel like that time of silence and you're going to say, did God really promise that he always loves me, that he's always working for my good, that he's got a plan, and did he really? And you're going to have to say, yes, it doesn't feel like it, but I can believe that because God has always done what he said. Amen? Amen? God has always done what he says. That's the true and living God. And so when we think of prayer, I like the, there's a book called... I forgot the name of it now. It'll come to me. Too Busy Not to Pray. That's the one. Because we often say we're too busy to pray. And it's called Too Busy Not to Pray. And I like this little, explanation. If I can get to that next slide there. If we can go to that next slide if we can. I'll give it a go. There we go. And I like this little explanation here, and it says When the request is wrong, God says no. So when you say, God, just kill my next door neighbor. You know, it's driving me crazy. Look, just take him out. You know, that good word in the Bible, smite. You know that word? God smite them. And God says, that's just the wrong request, Matt. You just got to learn to love that difficult neighbor. When the timing is wrong, though, like it might be a good thing. You know, Lord, heal my friend. God says, slow. God's timing is perfect. Amen, yes? When you are wrong, it might be a good thing, but God's saying, grow. You're saying, God, I really want this job. And it might be a good job, but God's saying, well, sorry, it's not the direction I'm sending you in. And God says, grow. But when the request is right, the timing is right, and you are right, God says, go. God says, go. Now, we should keep praying and asking. There's a parable of a persistent widow who keeps going to the judge and keep asking. So we don't give up. We don't go, well, I'll just sit around there and wait for God's perfect timing. We're supposed to keep praying. We're told to keep asking, keep seeking, keep praying. And, you know, I've got people that I've been praying to come to faith for 20 years that aren't there yet. And I'll pray until my last dying breath, yes? I'll keep praying and praying and praying. We don't give up. But what we've got to trust is that God is the God who doesn't slumber or sleep. He's the God who always fulfills his promises. And for me, that little sign at the start of the Christmas story is just the right time. God had promised way back all through the Old Testament. You can read all the prophecies of Messiah. Then they had 400 years of no prophet, of nothing, of silence, and everyone going, what is going on? But at just the right time, God fulfilled his promise. And for you, he's always going to be fulfilling his promise to always love his children. Now, it doesn't mean it's always easy in those hard times of silence, but you've got to trust in those silent times to keep praying, and God's timing is perfect. And in his time, he will bring you to that new season of life. And let me just say, there are some things that might not be until eternity. That's hard to hear, isn't it, at times? There are some things that God's perfect timing is not going to be until you're in heaven. And we've got to trust that as well, don't we? Yes. God has perfect timing, and that's the first little sign of Christmas. Let's pray, and then James is going to lead us in communion. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your perfect timing. Sometimes we can't see what you're doing. Sometimes we can't understand it. Sometimes the waiting hurts, and it is difficult. But God, we believe you are the God that never stops loving us, and you don't go to sleep and you're not off the job for a while and then, oh, I forgot my children. No, you're the God that's always there, always with and for your kids. And so we just want to pray for courage and trust in those times of waiting, in those times where we're thinking, whether it's health, whether it's work, whether it's family, whether it's praying for our non-believing friends and family, whether it's finances, or all those challenges of life, whatever it is, God, in that waiting time, help us to keep praying and seeking, but most of all to keep trusting that you are still with us and for us. And that even when it feels like we're in that time of silence, in just the right time, you will answer our prayers. And so, God, help us to have trust in the time of waiting, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.